Okay, it's 5:30. We'll call the work session to order. We're starting out with Mr. Hunt. This is informal, so you don't have to get behind. It's real informal.
Sorry.
Yeah, if you look, want to sit there, you can sit there. You can stand up, whatever you want to do.
I'd rather stand, I suppose, here. So, good evening, Mr. Supervisor, Board. Thank you for your time this evening. My name is Matt Hunt. I think I know most of you, but I'm the aside from my full-time job, I'm the Chamber of Commerce President of the Board for the Greater Baldwinsville Chamber of Commerce. One of my colleagues, our treasurer, Tina Salvo, was going to meet me here tonight. She just texted me. Unfortunately, she has a friend battling cancer she's dealing with, so she couldn't be here. So the reason I'm here before you is requesting a small portion of ARPA money to fund the Greater Baldwinsville Chamber of Commerce. Because of all the things we do, the impact we have on the community, the lack of funding we have, et cetera. So I'm gonna just kind of lay out who we are, what we do, how we impact the community, and why we could use some funding. If you have any questions, feel free to throw them at me. I don't know, do you guys have familiarity with Chambers of Commerce, what they do, how they act, what their interest is?
Okay.
So this is, I'm going on my 9th year on the board. This will be my 4th year as president of the board, I believe. So I've been pretty well ingrained in this organization for a long time and know a lot about it. But basically what we're looking for is currently we don't have an executive director. Our last executive director took a full-time job. This is a part-time position. It's the only paid position in the chamber. It's about 25 hours a week. And one of the biggest challenges we're facing right now is we already don't have the money to fund everything we need. And given the economy and the rising labor costs and payroll that everybody's experiencing, we need to also up our payroll to be able to attract and retain the kind of candidate who's going to have the talents and experience to be the executive director of the chamber and not stay there for 6 or 12 months, but ideally for a while, so we have some continuity there. Also, we have increased our payroll in at least the last 8 years that I've been on the board. We are extremely cognizant of our expenses and reduce them as much as we possibly can. We have no more reduction in expense than we can take. So all we can do is try to find other ways to generate revenue. We also have increased cost of doing business, payroll taxes, insurance, expenses for all of our events from every vendor that we hire for an event, their cost has increased now. And we generally have 10 plus vendors at any of our events. So take added cost times 10 or more, our events are extremely expensive and hard to pull off. So with this money, we'd look to do to hire and retain a quality executive director candidate to operate our chamber, do more events and business promotion, possibly add new events and new value to our members. One of the big things we're looking at adding is doing workshops and bringing in speakers or to do development, growth, and learning opportunities for our business owners here in the town of Lysander to help them be more successful and increase their revenues. So the purpose of the chamber, what we do is we develop, encourage, promote, and protect the commercial, professional, financial, and general business interests of the greater Baldwinsville area. We promote civic and cultural interests of the community and promote collaboration between businesses and organizations. We all know town of Lysander, Baldwinsville as a whole, has many amazing, deserving organizations and entities. I firmly believe, based on my experience with the chamber, there isn't another organization who touches all these aspects in our communities. And what I mean by that is the various types of members that we have and the types of things that we support. We have businesses, of course, churches, farms, home associations, many nonprofits, several of whom we donate funds to help them. Other local chambers are members of our chamber, politicians, and our Baldwinsville School District. Our current membership, 51%, is located in the town of Lysander. That's the bulk of our pie. 37% town of Van Buren, and 12% from outside of Baldwinsville as a whole. So, yes.
How many are not in the village of Baldwinsville that are members? Do you have a percentage on that?
That I can't tell you. I can tell you what's in the town, whether it's in the village or, you know. Yeah. It's in the town either way. I don't know the number specific to village lines and town lines, but these are, some of these are in the village, but they're within the town as well.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't have a number. So over half of our membership is town of Lysander. Our board of directors are six of us. We all live as residents in the town of Lysander and own homes. Four of us have businesses located in the town of Lysander. We're all volunteers. We volunteer all of our time for the chamber and the events we put on, the things we do in the community. Things we do monthly, we have monthly member luncheons. Generally 25 businesses attend that on average. We have monthly coffee talk meetings to network and grow and develop your business. We average about 20, 25 people of those. We recognize town of Lysander businesses with grand opening ribbon cuttings, celebrating anniversaries, grand reopenings, you name it. Any type of milestone a business has, we help them celebrate that and promote it throughout the community. Every year we award a $1,000 scholarship to a Baldwinsville senior. Many of those have been town of Lysander residents. Schools in the town of Lysander, obviously. The Beeville Big Chill has been going on for 16 years, happens in the town of Lysander at Mercer Park. That event averages 400 plus people. Most of the businesses involved are town of Lysander businesses. We do a food competition. Five out of six of those were town of Lysander businesses. That evening, after the Big Chill, we always have a pub crawl, 400 plus attendees. We have 9 locations, 7 are town of Lysander businesses that benefit from that. Out of that pub crawl, we award gift cards from those locations to participants, bring them back into the town of Lysander to spend money at our establishments. We also split proceeds of the event with the Rotary Club of Baldwinsville. They use that money, roughly $8,000 to $10,000 per year, to fund their backpack program in Baldwinsville schools to feed needy and hungry children. We give out a Business Person of the Year award. 4 of the last 5 recipients have been located in the town of Lysander businesses. We host a Beeville garage sale that we started a couple years ago. We created a map for both businesses and residents in the town that they can open their garage, their yard, have a yard sale. So if Mr. Wicks wants to have a yard sale, he can say, hey, Chamber, put me on the map. Now everybody who comes into our town for this community-wide garage sale can go to Bob's house, they can go to whatever business in the town, so we promote the community whole, whether they're a member or not.
My wife tried that once, so I can tell you, it won't be at Bob's house. It's never happening again.
Taste of Beeville, it's a huge event that brings 4,000 to 5,000 people into our community every summer, or I'm sorry, every September. 14 vendors at that event, 11 of them are town of Lysander businesses. We have many sponsors that make the event possible due to the expense. Last year we had 24 sponsors, 13 of those businesses located in town of Lysander. Many of those people go to businesses in our town before and after the event and spend money. You can ask any of the restaurant owners, they will tell you. And this event not only promotes Baldwinsville, the town of Lysander, everybody benefits from this. It is one of the most successful events in all of Central New York. And if you aren't aware, this recently here in 2022, the CNY Reader's Choice Awards, I think we all know what those are. You vote for your favorite restaurant, sports venue, whatever. Our event was one of only 2 events in Central New York that was nominated in 2 categories for being a best food festival and best community event. We also host a trick-or-treating event every year. Started a few years ago in conjunction with Town of Lysander Parks and Rec. They do window painting for Halloween. We started doing a safe, friendly way to trick-or-treat. So they do that in the town. After the window painting, they visit local businesses and hand out candy to the kids. Parents get to learn about the businesses, promote the town. Last year, 31 businesses participated, 28 located in the town of Lysander. We also create maps and promotions for Small Business Saturday so people can find our local businesses and what their specials are, spend money there. We take many calls, whether it be regarding the village, the dam, the island, concerts, the town, Mercer Park, Lysander Park, Lyon, you name it. They call the chamber for everything. So we are a center of influence. We provide people information, educate them, direct them to the proper entity. A big thing we did, we protected town of Lysander businesses last year from getting scammed by a company called CGI Communications. In 2018, I believe both the town and the village signed contracts with this company. And then what this company does, unbeknownst to you, is they call local businesses and prey on them and say, hey, Bob Wick's supposed to call you and you should advertise with us. We'll put it on our website. Well, it's extremely expensive. There's very little disclosure. The chamber actually helped one of our members who got scammed get several thousand dollars back that they were scammed out of. One of our banks in town here engaged in the promotion to try to support the town. They decided based on our information and research that they would not continue that program with them. And we have several emails and phone calls from other local businesses telling us they heard from this company, they were scammed by this company, or they didn't engage with this company because of the work that the chamber did. The only entity that knew about that and put the word out. Another big thing, in the last 2 to 3 years, we've had two chambers come to us and ask us how to run a chamber and how to put on events and how to have success with these things. One of them, which is a chamber even larger than us, asked us to take over their chamber, take over their board, and run their chamber as well as run ours. I think that speaks a lot to what we do in this community. Last, financials. The last 8 years, six of them, our organization has lost money. One of the two we lost money, or one of the two we made money. The only reason we didn't lose was thankfully we got some PPP loans. So since I've been in the organization in 2015, to date we've lost a grand total of $16,892.29. Most alarmingly, in 2020, we lost over $11,000, primarily because we couldn't host our Big Hill Big Chill event. It's our biggest fundraiser. It's the only way we stay solvent. We also have a money market account. Every year for the last 8 years, we've taken $2,000 or more a year out of it to put into our general account to fund operations and payroll. That money is almost gone. We also received a few donations from local town businesses who wanted to support us through the pandemic. It was another way we were able to stay afloat. So at the end of the day, we have a lot of impact on a lot of organizations. We promote everything that goes on in this town, whether you're a member or not. And without this money, we're really, really in dire straits and looking at, okay, the next few years, what's going to happen to this chamber? Are we even going to exist? Because it's hard to make money. The only money we raise is from our members that pay dues to join and from events. And our events, again, the expenses are extremely heavy. Taste of Beeville, approximately 5,000 people. We barely made it out because the costs are so expensive. So I appreciate your time. I appreciate your consideration. And I kindly request $10,000 in ARPA grant money for the Greater Baltimore Chamber of Commerce. Any questions?
Yeah, I this may be more of a statement. I'm just kind of summing up what you said because we're talking about ARPA funds. So, you know, because we're talking about ARPA funds, that's where my mind is going. 2020, you lost $11,000. So you were, not that you lost it, you were unable to make $11,000 because you couldn't hold your events.
Our profit loss shows a loss of $11,000.
Okay. Loss of $11,000. Due to the pandemic, not being able to gather people for the big chill, all that other stuff.
Yes.
Okay. As far as you started out with the part-time position you want to create or fill.
It's an existing position.
You need to fill it.
We lost our last candidate to a full-time job because we cannot pay enough.
Right. So a one-time sum from ARPA isn't going to really do a whole lot with that, but a one-time distribution to recoup the losses in 2020 perhaps will help
huge,
out.
Yeah. We're okay. Also, all right. Unfortunately, we have to increase our dues, which we don't want to do, but if we don't increase our dues, we're absolutely up to creek. Okay. So the combination of the two will make a huge impact.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'd just like to point out, 2021, we lost over 5,000. 2018, we lost 2,000. 2017, 2,500. 2016, 5,600. 2015, 5,300. So it's 2020 certainly an anomaly of the large number, mm-hmm. but we generally lose money.
How much did you get in ARPA money?
What's that?
How much money did you receive from PPE loan?
4,000, I think.
How many members are there of the chamber?
225.
And because I don't have a business here in Baldwinsville, how are the fees? Are they different? Can you be a member at a different level?
Or are there different levels? No, we used to do that, and a lot of chambers do that. It's very confusing. At the end of the day, whether you have one employee or 100 employees, one's going to the events. So it doesn't make sense. Just to me, that's a money grab on big organizations. So we decided, I believe in 2017 or 18, we went to a flat across the board, $110. And as of 1/1/23, we'll increase that to 150.
And I'm sorry, how many members are there?
225, 114 Town of Lysander.
Are you doing anything with that event going on tonight at the winery?
No. Okay. Sorry. That's not us. That's the winery. They're just doing a little.
Yeah.
But it's not our event. They're a member. We promote it.
No, I know. I was going to say it's a big event going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Can I have your sheet? Or no? Sure. You got notes on it?
Could you email it to the board? your recap.
Yeah, you can do
so
that.
We can
you
look
can
at it. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
It'd be great to have. Thank you for the presentation.
If you send it to me, you have mine. I'll forward it to everybody else.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Do you know how long the Baldwinsville Chamber has been?
Last year we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the chamber. I believe it's existed longer than that, but it was incorporated in 1971.
So, Matt, at the risk of hopefully not offending you or anybody else, but just asking hard questions, it seems to me that your business plan isn't working anymore if you're going to lose money every year. And you almost have to go back to asking yourselves, why do we even have a Chamber of Commerce in the first place? What do we do? And I'm familiar enough with Chambers of Commerce as having worked alongside the one in the city when I was with County Parks. They're ostensibly a membership organization, so the members, all the variety of businesses, can find out what the left hand and the right handers are doing and seeing if they can consolidate or not consolidate so much as much as work together to create an atmosphere, a good business atmosphere in town. And you know, if your business plan isn't working and you're giving $1,000 away in a scholarship every year, maybe you can't afford that. And I'm going to just ask devil's advocate questions. I know I'm not volunteering our parks director, who's not here, but I know he's involved with the Halloween program. But have you asked Van Buren, Baldwinsville, and Lysander to help run these programs? I mean, these are kind of add-ons in terms of what you're doing. Your ostensible purpose is to make sure the businesses in town have a voice and can talk amongst themselves and to promote their own businesses so they do well. And I think that's a great thing. But kind of picking up on what Mr. Moore was saying, I'm worried about what I'm hearing here, because regardless of whatever you may get from this board through ARPA, it's a one shot.
I understand that. I believe you missed the dues increase from 110 to 150, well, 225 members. That will create a different scenario.
Okay.
But this is a huge help on top of that. What we've done is we've backed into what we would like to pay our, what we're currently paying our director, what's our payroll, taxes, insurance, rent, what do we need to cover that number? And the dues increase will pretty much cover that.
Well, number. I would like to, if that's the case, I would personally like to see a business plan that says, here's where we're at, here's how we're going to cover our losses, and here's what we want to do with executive directors and other things, and here's where your $10,000 fits. And then we won't be back asking for any more money because our business plan is rock solid.
Okay. I understand. I would say that Chipper's
that's just
never
me.
Asked the government for money.
I understand.
They've never received any.
Right. And if this ARPA,
partly because of COVID.
And if ARPA didn't exist, what would you be doing?
Well, like I said, we're increasing our dues. We're okay. scrutinizing expenses. You know, we're doing this. We're also all volunteers doing this.
I get it.
Already
I know. I didn't want to upset you.
I know, but you slightly attacked there, so I'm going to respond. But, you know, the Chamber creates opportunities and platforms for businesses to connect, network, grow, mm-hmm. develop. We bring a lot of tourism into this town. Those people spend a lot of dollars in this town. We impact a lot of members in this town. Go ask. I'll give you my membership list. Go ask them what they think would happen if this chamber didn't exist. Mm-hmm. I had a luncheon yesterday to talk about our State of the Union, our annual meeting. We had 40 people there. I think they're engaged in what we do and find value in what yep. we do. So I understand what you're saying. I can work on that. I'm a volunteer. Putting together a business plan is going to be a huge ask, really. I haven't seen a business plan in the chamber. I just went through 30 years of documents. There's not a single business plan in there. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. I run a business. I'm part owner in a business. I think I laid out pretty well why we need the money and what we do. But if you'd like to see more, I can work.
So the $10,000 is going to go where? If you got a check from the town of Lysander, from ARP, what are you going to do with that money?
It's going to go into our operating account. We currently owe our account about $2,000 that we don't have the money to pay, so that would be a huge help. And then we will use it to, we have taxes to pay coming up, we have rent, and we're very close to the end of that money. So part of what this will also do will preserve what's left in our money market account as our emergency fund, so that we don't have to continue to dip even further into that than we have the last 6 or 8 years. We run very lean, and
oh,
we
I'm
do
sure
a ton
you do.
On that lean, and we bring a lot of people in this community, have a lot of impact, and people love the events and the things that we put on. So
I agree with you 100%. I've never been to a bad event at the Chamber of Commerce. I will tell you that right now.
I tell you, last year with Taste of Beeville, County Chairman Brian McMahon was there, and he himself said it was the best event in Central New York.
So I agree.
After 3 years of doing it.
And if you look at this this article regarding COVID, one of the things that the money was meant for is the recovery funds provide $195 billion to ensure governments have the resources needed to battle that pandemic and help families and businesses suffering from public health and economic implications. That's exactly what Matt laid out. They'd have an additional, I think the number he gave is around $18,000 more if you were able to run those events, and you weren't because of COVID. And that's specifically in the funding they talk about. Organizations that and businesses that promote tourism for the community. That's one of the expenses that was okayed from the beginning. Now I know they've expanded it, but that certainly was one of the things to help businesses and your organization does. You know, really drives our businesses around here.
And I certainly appreciate, you know, there are some things that maybe some would consider outside the scope of a chamber, but a chamber is many things, and in each community it's kind of kind of unique to what that community needs. And I fully understand scrutinizing some of the things we're doing, but the last thing I would want to do would be to take away the donations that we make to our local nonprofits and our school scholarship program. You know, we make donations to Peace. We just made a donation to our apiary, a nonprofit for language learning.
But I think if you were to say to Bob, the $10,000 that we were giving you wouldn't go towards those grants. They would be used for things.
Right, it's going to go to operating costs. Okay. And specifically, and then if you make up that $11,000 loss from COVID, that's specific to ARPA as well.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Mr. Fava, you're up next.
So if you don't recall, Mr. Fava was, his company was looking for us to, and I'm just trying to reiterate, you're looking for us to send a letter of support for a pilot to county, correct? To the what's the
IDA?
IDA, thank you. To the IDA.
Correct.
Okay. Great.
Good evening.
Huh?
Good evening.
Good evening.
So, I'm Pat Bassett, and I've been partners with this guy for over 40 years. And we came in 2001 and built the first complex, which I think most of you know what it is. It's a point right off the Willow Parkway, and then we were blessed enough to get a pilot program at that time. And what we promised on that pilot program was to keep our promise to keep the rents at market, but be able to be affordable enough so that people that wanted to retire and get out of a home and the stress of a home could still live in the town in a very nice place without having to go to a garden apartment where they started out when they were 18, 19 years old. So we did that, and it took us a little time to get things built up, and it turned out to be very successful. And in a blink of an eye, 10 years goes by pretty quick. And then we didn't move the rents up quite as fast because there was a time when we couldn't do that. It was just economically not feasible. But because we're a family-owned business and we're hands-on, boots on the ground, we went through that period of time, and little by little we moved rents up to the point where we could actually start getting a return on our money. Got to the point where we decided to bring even more of it upscale because we like the town, we like Radisson. My partner lived in Radisson for 35 years, raised a family there. We built another building that was elevator building, pretty fancy. I think some of you have been through the building, I hope. If not, it's a nice building. We went once again and asked for a pilot program to take the edge off, and the county said, we're in. We kept our promise there again, and our rents right now, even with the new building and the first building, are around 35 cents a square foot lower than anybody in the area with our type of product. The reason for that is because we kind of fall in love with our residents, and when they've been there 10 or 15 or 20 years, and you know they're good and they call it their home, and you can see that they're, you know, they're not overflowing with cash, we bump the number maybe 25 or 50 bucks. Some big corporations come in, they buy places like ours, and they bump them $400 or $500 a month. There's a big vacancy, but they have the cash to sit on the sidelines and wait till they fill them up with higher rents. Well, one might think that's good, but then what happens, it can't become really relevant anymore to the people that want to live here. That's one thing, we have, you know, a factory coming in, it's going to make all these jobs, bring all these new people in. That's wonderful. But what about the people that are here that are retiring and they want to stay in this community? Well, that's what we built. So for us asking for a pilot program, it's basically, it's necessary to take the edge off of a very difficult time in the beginning. And trust me, it's difficult. I have a little...
I just have a quick question. When you keep referring to retirement, right?
Yeah.
Are they all retirement age? Are you asking for a tax break from the school district as well, too, so that way you don't have to pay school taxes on that because they're of age?
No. No. All we're asking for is a little help in the beginning so that we can come out of the chute with a good...
So is there other people besides retirees living there as well, too?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I was confused because you kept saying retirement.
Well...
But when you I mean, explain the percentage-wise. I think it's a high percentage.
Right now, we're at about 52%, okay? And, you know, it's, they'll be tired, they don't work, okay? And this is who's coming to us. The people that live in Radisson now, or just outside of Radisson, but in the town of Lysander, and they have these homes that they just, they don't want the upkeep anymore. It's two people, no kids, you know. They go to Florida, some, you know, some of our residents go to Florida for 4 or 5 months. They come back, we take care of their apartments, we make sure everything's good. It's, you know, quite honestly, it's a nice setup. But what I put together here was, it's okay to...
It's, you can, this is pretty...
Okay, no, I understand, but this is kind of a chart that was made, and it kind of shows you how things burn off very quickly and really what the town is really not giving up. So when you build these projects, I used to say it'd take us a couple of years. Well, that turned into 3 now because of lack of help and whatever. But we do create an awful lot of jobs in this area. When you're putting up this magnitude of a project, we will have 50, 60 people working in that project for months and months and months that wouldn't normally have work in this area. Right now, there's not a lot of construction going on, only because where lumber's been is through the roof today. It's much cheaper. Steel's still high, but it's coming down. Labor is intensely stupid. That's why home ownership is so hard to obtain for young couples. I mean, to build a house today, you're at $225, $230 a square foot. You know, and it's very difficult by the time you find a good piece of land and a lot that's got, you know, all the utilities. I mean, the norm is $350,000 to $400,000. It's kind of hard to get into homeownership. So hopefully, you know, as jobs come in this way and we build this and these prices come down, maybe homeownership will be valuable again. But right now, the renting is the only means of where people can go to live if they're coming into the community. So obviously, responsible development in town is very important. But to stay relevant 10 years down the road, we need projects like this.
And they're all market rate apartments.
That's correct.
Okay.
So our business model has always been the same. We'd like to start out as bare bones as we can and get these things up and get people in at a reasonable rate, full market, of course, and build it up. It takes us probably close to 3 years to fill it. It's not like they're waiting in the wings to just come and flood us. So this thing's going to take a while to get it built and filled. Which means also that when these assessments start on the project, the assessments start really only a year after you obtain CLO. So let's say you get a building done and you get a CLO and get another building done. This could be a course of 3 to 5 years before you're even at a third of the assessment of what it would be 10 years down the road. So what I'm saying is, I don't think the town, by helping us, is not giving away anything. The sales tax issue, what does the town really get out of the sales tax? Peanuts. It all goes to Albany, for the most part. And as far as the mortgage tax go, I don't mind sharing with you a fact that it's left pocket, right pocket, because they're going to let you not have the mortgage tax, but then they're going to ask you for fees that are more than the mortgage tax to put someplace else the money. I'm not sure where they put it, but it's not for us. But so if you have a, give me an example, that you have a $10 million mortgage, that would be roughly $100,000 in mortgage tax. But they get a pilot program for that kind of program, it's probably gonna cost you $110,000 in fees. So that's a wash. But what really, really is most important is this tax help, because the tax help only takes stress off of the rents. So our business model is to come in and do things on a full market value, upscale, be relevant, bring in whatever we need to bring in to make the community what it is, what it's been. And I don't mind telling you that in Radisson, the town doesn't have to do much, as you know. Our services with inside our compound will pay probably $60,000-$70,000 a year. And we don't get no services for it. Not one thing. We pay that every year to put in the kitty, the bushel basket, for the rest of Radisson to stay relevant and stay pretty and stay nice. which is what it's been built on. So we love this area. We've put our money where our mouth is 20 years ago. We'd like to put some more in. Need some help.
Now, I believe the apartments you're talking about are over off Willett behind Center Point, right? That you
correct.
Currently own?
Yes.
If I remember correctly, it was some years ago, I think you had a plan to build between 7 and 9 buildings. Weren't you going to go down the hill?
That's correct.
And expand?
That's correct.
So you've built 2 buildings so far in that?
One. Yes.
Okay. So what's the long-term plan on building out that project? Because you're asking about a new project at the front of Radisson.
We feel this project, be very blunt with you, we're in love with this project. We think this project is going to be an icon for this area. That's what we feel. Only because of the proximity, the fact that it is more accessible, it's more convenient, and I don't mind telling you, it's easier to find. Okay. So we intend, if this goes the way we hope it goes, we intend 5-6 years down the road, we're still here, thank you. We're going to try and do the same thing in the rest of our project.
So I got a question. Yes. So you're still going to build it whether or not you get a pilot program or not, correct?
I don't know that. I can't stay here right now and tell you absolutely. I can't tell you that.
Well, Frank, my offer's still on the table if you want it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. Well, I mean, just personally, I like... we're going to have a lot of pressure in the town coming from developers, and you know, I sent that email out, and I know Bob read it. We're going to have a lot of pressure from developers to put housing of who knows what kind in the town, and I like the you know what you're producing as a product, because like you said, it affords people that are older to live in the community, still pay market rate rents, but not, you know, overpay on it. And we know your product is, you saw the product down there, they're building. It's nice building, right?
Yeah. I just, you know, we've got one project that's, you know, 10%.
Right, but I'm just talking about the specific thing.
Yeah.
It's a nice product. And that's, you know, from me, that's one of the things. If you know, if I'm going to sign off on it, I want quality projects in here. And you know, you have that project. I'm sure it's you know, we talked, and it sounds like it's going to be a real nice project. And it's and we have a given or we have a known commodity in your business and your buildings. You know, I like it. You know,
thank
so
you. Thank you very much.
You know, and I. Because I think that we certainly could get something in there that may not be as nice for the community. So.
Well, there is another business model. And the other business model is that we can take all of our profit up front, and that would be tax credits.
I didn't say, what was that again?
We can take all of our profit up front and yes. Not wait 20 years to get some profit out of this thing, because that's what it takes. Everybody thinks that if you build apartments, you're just rolling in the dough overnight. Well, that ain't the case at all, okay? And at the end of the day, if you want to get your money up front, you do what they call a tax credit deal. But then that's a different kind of housing. But all your money comes up front.
Yeah. Right.
What I mean by that, let me see if I can...
Working, is it, you call that the working, what's that term?
It's a workforce.
Workforce rent.
Whatever words you want to use.
Yeah.
But that's not what we do. That's not how we handle things. We're long-term. I have my son and my nephew in the background here who are running the show. They got kids working on the ground with us. So this is a family business. It's very serious. And we know it's going to be 20 years down the road before we're going to make any money, but they're ready to do it.
And I'm sorry, I probably missed you, and you said this, but how many people will be living in this complex when it's all said and done?
Well, it's 162 units.
Okay.
I'm not really sure what that accommodates in people. Sometimes we have people, there's two, there's sometimes 2.3, mm-hmm. So Sometimes there's one.
Is your project already gone through the planning? So are you, you're all set with that?
We're all set. Everything's all
okay. And all the traffic studies and everything are taken care of?
All complete.
Yeah.
Okay.
This town has approved it.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
We're basically a building permit stage right now.
So OSIDA wants you to come out of the board with an approval, or would OSIDA go ahead without our?
Well,
I mean, do you need a yes from this board to get credits from OSIDA?
Here's what's going on. The first couple of times we did this, we didn't have to come in front of the board. We weren't requested to come in front of the board.
Right.
The town at the time took the position, well, you know, that's got nothing to do with us, that's the county. So we would go to the county and we'd say, this is what, oh, that's great, we need housing, no problem, we're going to put a lot of people to work, that's great. This is also going to create future jobs for us, at least 3 to 4 to run this place, you know, so it's not like we're not creating jobs. So IDA is all about creating jobs. So we filled all the applications out, we did our thing, and boom, that was it. We went and had a meeting with them, it was approved, and that was that. Well, you know, I guess you probably realize that the towns are pissed off, excuse the expression, that, hey, you know, you guys are throwing your weight around and not giving us a chance to, you know, see what's going on in our own town. You're giving people these pilot programs like their M&Ms. So they're basically being sensitive to the fact now that they'd like the town on board. We said, fine, no problem, we'll go to the town. Never been asked before, but we will. And that's why we're here. So the answer is yes.
Okay. I mean, I didn't know, because OSIDA has the right to decide whatever they want to decide without our approval. I mean, and I believe after you came and they had the public hearing here at Town Hall for your first set of apartments, I wrote a letter to OSIDA explaining that I didn't like how the town had little input on what OSIDA decided. So maybe that started the ball rolling with the change in, you know, our county executive and things like that, of giving the towns more input on industrial development.
Well, your letter must have worked.
So, but, you know, I think it's nice to let town boards hear from the developers before they go to the next level. But I can't believe OSIDA would tell somebody no based on the town approval if they feel it's a project for the better good. Because I don't think we're going to sue the county to go after money that we're probably not going to get back.
Well,
but I haven't seen anything that says if we say no, you're dead in the water with OSIDA, that they couldn't say yes.
You know what, I really can't make a comment on that because I would be just laughing my gums here. But I'll tell you that I think your letter had some clout with them because we had some conversations with them and they were very, very, very interested in the town's participation in this.
Okay.
Interested enough where they said, well, we got to go see them. So, they didn't leave anything after that as a, you don't get it, you're not doing this, we're not doing that. We didn't even ask that. We just told Squatter Town, we said, no problem.
Right.
So we came to the town. Interesting enough, though, how fast 10 years goes by. Okay.
Sure.
The town, even other projects like ours down the road, you know, I spent 6.5 years on, I don't mind telling you, town agrees on a board, and we were always trying to do the best we could to not only be sound of today, but be relevant for tomorrow, right? So you have to look a little further with what we're doing here. So at the end of the day, what I'm saying is the town wants to have responsible build. Development wants to bring families in, they're going to need jobs, so obviously somebody pulled a miracle out of their hat and they've got this chip plant going on that everybody's going crazy about, which I'm very happy too, I don't mind telling you, because we bought the land before the chip plant was announced, so it had nothing to do with our position. But if we don't get some of these places up where people can live, you know, we worry about the school, well, if you don't bring new families in, who's going to go to the school? Eventually, you're going to have this big building with no kids going in. So I just don't think, I guess what I'm saying is you're not giving anything away. You're not giving anything away. But the stress and the trouble we went through to get this project approved was unbelievable. I mean, the scrutiny, Supervisor Witz was involved. This was painful. To come here and ask for more is even more painful. But we hope you understand, we're not trying to get away with anything. We're not, We're just saying, I don't think you're giving up nothing. You're giving up. That's
all. Well, I mean, I'd be a lot more comfortable knowing what you're asking for from the county and then seeing how that affects the town. If I could see the dollar and cents of it, that could make, help me make a better decision. Yeah.
The only thing I can show you is where the burn-off is and how the ramping comes up and where the two meet with the rents, because the rents are most important.
Well, you're asking for a 10-year pilot.
That's correct.
Okay, and with the, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, you know more about this than me. With the pilots, they start off at, you never pay less than what you're making now. In fact, you pay more. I either start off at the same or pay more, and each year it gradually goes up, like by, I think, like 10%, until you get to 100%. So right now, the first year, they're going to be paying what they're paying now. The next year, 20%, 30, 40, 50. So even after 4 years, they're going to be paying 50%. If that land sat there and they decided not to move forward with this, we'd only be getting what we're getting now. With what they're talking about, we're going to be getting additional 10% each year until eventually it's at 100%. But the biggest thing for me is, because the town doesn't make a ton of money on those things anyway. Certainly you're permitting, you know how much you pay in permits, and yeah, and we do benefit from that. But I think for us as a town, we want to look at when development comes in, just like the county executive said in his article, we want bottom feeders. And I think we have a known product with what your company is doing, and that's, I like that. So if we're going to put something in there and it's going to be a quality product and we know it's going to go in, I like that idea. I like the stability of that, in as opposed to leaving it to something else, like you said, and you're talking about different type of housing that may not be the quality of yours, probably might not be. You know, there's an opportunity where you could put in housing that isn't maybe what the residents of the town would prefer.
Correct.
So, do we have any more questions for these two gentlemen?
I want to thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tony, could you... I wanted to add a motion to the agenda. Just write it up like what they're asking for, what we need in the motion.
For these guys?
Yeah.
I apologize for not being here. I never got the name out for the agenda. So
no, that was my, no, it was my fault. It was my fault. I sent it through a text to see if everybody could make it. And then when I was waiting for Pete, I missed his, and I didn't get it till last night. And then today I was at meeting.
Well, I need to get it from the clerk's office, but I didn't get it.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I just sent them texts. So
as soon as I walked in the door, I saw you all sitting here.
Yeah. No, I knew. I knew they were doing. No, they were doing the presentation.
Yeah,
they were doing the presentation, so I wasn't worried about it. I would have called you, Mr. Corey. We're waiting for you, buddy.
Great. Good evening. Despite rumors to the contrary, there has been a group working on the update. And what I would like to do tonight is present you, gentlemen, with the draft version of what we're recommending for you to consider for replacing. And I'll, in a second, show you what we're going to be replacing.
Okay. So the maps and things are going to essentially stay. That's why it's thinner. Okay.
This is all you need to look at.
All right.
As far as...
So I can't look at the other one? This is the only one?
Well, I'm going to look at
it. I mean, as far as changes.
Yeah. Okay.
Your copy, Al.
Thank you, Jim.
Your copy.
Okay. I see what you did here.
This, if you had the old clip,
yep,
mm-hmm, and you put a clip starting with Appendix B, all of that will remain identical. This,
the maps and everything.
This will replace everything in front of that.
Okay,
that's what we're looking at. The if you go into the overview of the comprehensive land use plan, this here.
Yep.
This was put together really to provide you with a quick way to read what our key findings were and what our recommendations are. And what follows are the rewrites that fit that overview. For example, after a lot of discussion with a lot of people among the board, on the committee, I mean, we really were very comfortable with the idea that the original goals and objectives and model of the 2015 club remained out. Nothing had occurred during that time period that changes what the town passed as the original club as to its goals and objectives for land use. But new things have come along, so we've added two new sections to it, one dealing with renewable energy, the other dealing with an update on the agricultural section. And we've gone through and cleaned up all the other sections because there's information in there that now is outdated. We removed that and we've updated and clarified those sections. So what I would suggest is that you take this, take a little time, read it, have any questions, please contact me, the committee, we'll be glad to answer them. And when you get to a point where you're comfortable, maybe not in all aspects, then we can start the process of you basically sending this out, passing a resolution, sending it out to the planning board, the ZBA, and the county for their comments and recommendations on it. And then you'll have to start a secret process on this, and then public hearings, et cetera, et cetera.
So how do you want us to handle, if we got questions about this, just call you with our questions, email you?
Comment. I'll be the contact point.
Okay.
And you can get them to me either, they may be assembled to hand by a phone call,
yep,
or an email or a text or however.
So each individual board member can do that, just call you?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
All right.
Do not hesitate with that.
Okay.
All right. What we, you'll notice the other difference here from the old club. At the time this was put together, there was an Appendix A, and that was the proposed incentive zoning law. That will be removed under this because that's been passed into law, and now we have its own section directly within the club because it's already in the code. And there's a few paragraphs in there, sentences, that you'll see marked in red. That is the only suggested changes that will occur in the incentive zone. It's more for clarification than any change of substance or scope of the incentive zone.
Yeah, because there were some things that contradicted town law in there, right?
Yeah.
And those were things you addressed. I know we've talked about those.
We've said. The other thing you'll see is we've attached what we call an Appendix A. This Appendix A is not part of the club. What it is it's consideration for changes to town codes in certain areas. For example, one of the things that became clear during our discussion is that when you look at the intent of the comprehensive land use plan, and you look at solar farms, they are in direct conflict with the land use plan. Okay? I mean, you don't preserve open space and view sheds by putting up solar farms. All right? But under New York state law, under our town codes, they can be put in there. The state's pushing renewable energy. So what we've done is we've made some suggestions here. They're very simple. And you go, these are the recommended changes in Appendix A. So what you can do under our codes is you can limit the allowed coverage, how much of the land can be covered by the solar farm. And of course we have setbacks and we have screening, and we use that in order to preserve the visual aspect as much as possible. But for example, the other thing you can do, and that's what we're recommending here, is because we're trying to preserve especially the high quality soils areas for agriculture, we're recommending a reduction in the amount of coverage allowed on that land from 50% to 30%. And we're recommending that the code be changed to basically require a solar farm developer to lay out his fields in such a way as to allow for the retention of agriculture use for the rest of the land around it, if the farmer so desires.
That's a good recommendation.
In other words,
yeah, spread it out.
Don't
yeah.
ruin 100 acres
right.
by what you do on 30.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things, just looking at it, that we got to clear up, this general commercial lot coverage section, paragraph A3, from 30 to 70. There's an issue with that. I think they never changed it from 50% to 30%.
Well, whether it's 50 or 30.
Right, but I mean, that would have, but
yep.
I mean, could you check with Karen? Because I think that was the issue. Years ago, they wanted to change it from 50 to 30 for commercial. Then when we were checking, they never did it. They never sent it into the
New York State. They did it, but they never sent it in.
They never sent, so it didn't become law. So it still
became law in our books, but it was not law in New York State.
Yeah, we changed it in our books, but that doesn't mean it's law. So that's something that
off this book.
Yeah, that's something that you ought to have Tim Fratesci take a look at with Karen and work that out, so that, you know, because I think from everything we had a big brouhaha about that before, going from 30 to 50, and it was at 50 all along. That's my understanding. So.
I know. Well, we're recommending we change it
To 7. Yeah.
And commercial means industrial, or is it
industrial and commercial?
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you've only got general commercial here.
No, the line above it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah,
right.
We got it.
I apologize.
And the thought process behind that is this. Obviously, as we were winding down with our effort, some new things have happened that are going to change development in this area, Onondaga County, Oswego, Oneida, Lysander, and that's Mike. And we obviously didn't have time, because no one knows right now what's going to come out of this. There's not going to be anything operating up there until 2026 at the earliest. And given the fact that only 20% of the project is guaranteed by Micron, and the other 80% depends on what the towns and the county and the villages do, a lot of balls are up in the air on that.
But they got...
But what you can...
Yeah, I was at the supervisors meeting today, from Clay to Onondaga, town of Onondaga, Skenny Atlas, people are calling from all over the country about land. So we're going to get something.
You're going
to
get.
And even at 20%, you're still talking, you know, maybe another 10,000, 20,000 jobs.
You are. Where they're going to locate. So there is probably the opportunity to realize both more density residential development, industrial, commercial type development. Right now, we're very limited in Lysander with zoned industrial and commercial. The biggest piece of industrial was approved for the warehouse. What they're going to do with that, I don't know. My guess is, knowing them, they're looking to sell it to somebody who wants to come in and put a plant in there to support Micron. But whatever it is, it's been approved. So the town has the town board has the flexibility in our codes to increase incentive zoning overlays if they want to open up opportunities for that, to new industrial or commercial zonings, set up new zoning for that. You do have that flexibility already in the code. But we thought by making these suggestions of increasing the allowed coverage, that helps you pick up more usable space for industrial and commercial development without zoning somebody else's property. That's why it was suggested. It gives you a leg up on that type of activity. I mean, for example, the warehouse. And the warehouse was kept at 30% because their coverage came in at 29%. Just on the usable land on that one, going from 30 to 80, I mean, you can triple the size of the plant that's allowed there. Mm-hmm. So you in effect add more zoning through that. That's why that suggestion is in there. But these would just be things that would be handled outside of the club. They would be law changes.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question. I guess it's for everybody, for all of us, and it's no reflection on Mr. Fava's project whatsoever, but all of what we're doing here up until when the Micron thing was announced was considering this community's kind of incremental growth, for lack of a better word. You know, where Baldwinsville is going to look like Baldwinsville tomorrow as it does today with some changes. And correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, but and I'm not. This is not your question to answer. I'm not putting all the responsibility on you. But there are some realities in our town, and I'm just curious what we're all thinking in terms of literally downtown Baldwinsville looks like downtown Baldwinsville. It's got four lanes of traffic, and only two lanes, in fact, on Genesee Street in front of the library, and then the four corners. At what point do we break in terms of cars and people trying to drive through our community or just to go shopping from Radisson to Tops? At some point, and I think we all experience it, there are times of the day you can't move in Baldwinsville. So at what, how do we address, I don't think there's a magic answer here, but, and again, it's not a reflection on Mr. Fava's project, but that's always going through my mind. Okay, another 162 more apartments, and then Micron, let's just multiply that times 10 or maybe even 100. And we're talking about thousands and thousands of people in cars. I don't know what do we do?
And then do we have all the farmers west of, 690 sell all their land and start developing that too, you know?
So I don't know. Is this a special task force that we should be considering?
No, he set one up. In fact, I was going to tell you. Monday, I'm attending a meeting with, like I said, Clay, Salina, maybe I didn't tell you, Clay, Salina, Cicero, and us are meeting with the county and representatives from Micron. I don't know what it's about, but obviously it's probably about development. Because it's a development advisory committee, so we'll have a seat at the table anyway. So after Monday, I'll know a little bit better what's going
on. That's
but
good.
They know, you know, but they know they got to do something with infrastructure, everything.
Well, I guess that's the question that's going through my mind is if you look at Route 31 in Clay, they had all of that farmland to expand, and that's why it's an 8-lane highway. Right, or maybe six lane, eight lanes in terms of turnoffs. We don't have that opportunity in downtown Baldwinsville unless you want to start knocking buildings down and condemning a serious amount of property. And I hope we're not thinking that. We have a community that is unlike Clay and Cicero in that we weren't farmland up until the Four Corners, right? So what do we do? I don't have an answer.
Well, I know they, since 1970, they had that plan to go across the river.
Bypass.
Yeah, but that's
they've
not.
They've had that.
Yeah, and you know and that I'm on your totally on your wavelength on that, but that's only going to be a small solution to a much bigger problem.
Well, there clearly are a lot of questions that are unanswerable at this point. You can speculate on them. But to your point about west of 690,
I wasn't even asking that, but
everybody developing that. If you look under our current codes, it's very hard to develop out there. Unless you guys change the codes, you're not going to get mass development out there. The code just prevents it. It's not going to happen. You have a lot of flexibility in what you do with the codes, the subdivision codes, how you zone. But Bob, your point is right on, because every one of us on the planning board, every one of us on the update committee recognizes the fact that it's a nightmare right now trying to move traffic through that town and around it. And you got 152 units, he said, in Fava's thing. There's another project under consideration. It's got many, many more than that. This is all before Micron.
Exactly.
Now, they might all benefit from Micron, but there clearly is going to be more and more pressure for people to try to buy land and have it developed and make money off it. But right now, the codes kind of limit that.
Right, and so we can sit here, or the planning board can say, all right, that project meets all of the parameters and it's approved, and that project meets all the parameters and it's approved. And at some point we're going to have an explosion of, not literally, but there's going to be too many people and too many cars, and they don't fit anymore. And I'm just wondering, what do we do about that? I'm not a planner. I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, the planning board fiduciarily is required to approve any project that meets codes.
Right.
I mean, we can't make up reasons to say no, because then the town gets
right.
sued. So what it comes back to is this body and the laws they put in place and the zoning they put in place.
But
the grounds.
All these communities in this area have that, because you look
it's
at Cicero.
That's
Cicero's
right.
bare, that 81 corridor there, 81 and 31
yeah.
corridor, that's they can barely handle what they handle now. So what are they going to do?
Well, they're redeveloping that whole area.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they're doing this now. Their county's looking at putting on an additional 4 people for planning. And, you know, I was down there last week talking to, Elle and I went down talking to county planning about our waterfront development project. And that, you know, they're going to pick up most of the work. Really, because that's going to be a lot of work, and so they're helping us out with that. I think that could be, you know, to, and we were talking about pass, bike pass, and things like that. So there are, you know, there certainly traffic could be a negative, but there are other positives, I think, that could come out of this growth in the terms of amenities, bikeways, money coming into the community, enhance infrastructure. So I think we just wait and see what's going on.
So let me make one more statement. I think there's going to be problems that are going to demand solutions, and all I'm suggesting is I don't want someone not in this town making those decisions. I think we have a responsibility. I don't know if it's the town board. I don't know if it's planning. Maybe it's all of us together creating a special. We're going to fix it. We're going to figure this out. We're not going to let Onondaga County figure it out for us. We're not going to let someone else figure it out. We're going to figure it out, because someone's going to figure it out, and if we take a back seat, they'll figure it out for us, and we may not like it.
I think all the town supervisors were on board with what you just
okay.
said. You know,
yep.
Town of Clay included. Town of Clay, Cicero, Well, Salina wasn't there, but I was there, and we agreed. Yeah, we're gonna tell them, you know, they can tell us you're gonna have this development, but we're gonna have a seat at the table. So.
And I don't know if we, but I don't know if we want to independently meet internally to start talking about this. You know, Jack and his team put a lot of work into this, and this can stand independent of what we're talking about.
Right.
But we, maybe we ought to create another task force. And I'm just throwing, let's think about this, guys. Let's think about this.
And that would be working with the village as well, too,
exactly.
Right? For the traffic patterns.
Yes.
And
well, it should be Van Buren.
Van Buren,
right, absolutely.
Right.
We should all. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, after Monday, I'll have a better
good
handle on what's going on, and then certainly we can. I mean, we should protect our own interests. I
yes
agree with you. So, you know, I think everybody's on board with that. But
yeah,
let's see
yeah
what they got.
I may be a little off base on this, but I don't think I am. If you think about what Bob's saying, clearly, the biggest issue, at least from my perspective, is the infrastructure to move things, whether it's cars,
yep,
whether it's trucks, whether it's trains, it's people moving. Where a big problem comes mm-hmm from, right now. And I don't know how effective we're going to be in dealing with that, because most of that's done over either county or state roads.
Right.
And they control that. What we control doesn't get a lot of that traffic on. So. Something that's got to take a lot of thought, because after reading the article, and I know you
yeah
went to the meeting,
yeah,
I mean, it's very clear. Our county executive and the deal, and the governor's on TV saying the same stuff, you know, the state and counties, everybody's going to throw money at these guys, and we're going to provide you whatever you need.
Well, they have to in order to get that other.
Exactly.
That other 60 million.
Yeah.
They're only guaranteed 20, like you said.
Yeah.
So 25% of it.
They haven't right thought about the road situation.
They have to. But
yeah.
So,
county, state.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't mean to stop
then,
you
and
short,
then
but.
On top of that, you got 81. You know, how do you start that?
Yeah. I think Al has
that. I was going to say, there's a SMTC planning grant that's out now that the county's applying for, that's specifically to look at planning for transportation along the 31 corridor, and including Baldwinsville, Clay, Cicero, to study that right now. So if there's a project, there's no other project that's more deserving to be funded in the county other than that,
right,
through the SMTC. So I anticipate that funding will be granted, and there will be a study to talk about that. I know there's been discussions of light rail along the 31 corridor. I know there's been discussions of a new bypass road constructed north of the village and just south of the county line to move traffic to
oh wow
Route 48 from Route 48 to 31 and then again going east to get traffic around Cicero
okay
as well.
Well, we'll have more discussion. I want to try and get through this stuff, so but
yeah,
I you know that
the,
yeah
those all play into the comments that Jeff
yeah
Bob just brought up.
Yeah, there's a lot of
A lot of things going on.
Yeah. So, if we don't get to the Whispering Oaks thing, we can do that during the general meeting. But
okay.
You wanted to talk about the solar farms.
Well, just real quick, I had an opportunity to read in that town's magazine. Apparently, there's one town at least is tacking on a public benefit fee for new solar installations, and I mean I can't be a spokesperson for this. I know as much as you guys know, but maybe we ought to talk about this and consider doing something along these lines. And that's all I have to say. I mean,
well, what are we getting from them now? Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I
you
read
know,
the
so
article, and I
don't
wholeheartedly.
I don't have
it
a problem with
that's
that
great
because we're not getting anything from them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I guess the question is, and maybe Jack is here. Who hits the ball here? Do we have to do something first, or I read
the article.
Yeah,
the town.
So that Al sent this out. This
yeah. On another, I spoke to the town of Glenville planner. Since they enacted that, they haven't had a project, but developed before the project.
That's
right
good.
It's not intended to raise money. It's intended to deter.
Right.
If they want to go forward, if they want to go forward, then
solar farms.
Then let's get something out.
But what you're telling me, Al, this is really critical. You and I just got caught up. What Al's saying there is critical. He's saying that apparently the town was able to put it in their town law, and no one has challenged it, and it's effective. So if that's true, the state hasn't challenged it because of how they're put. Then to answer Bob's question, yes, this town board can consider drafting that regulation to put into our solar code.
Do you have that article, Tony?
Do you have the stuff that Al gave us? Yeah. So can, right.
Can we have to hold a public hearing.
Can we move?
Yeah.
Can you look this over and see if it works for us?
We got to come up with our own language first.
By the next meeting.
Their code, the town that did it, their code is different than ours. So
I think we should move towards that.
Okay.
I think we should move towards doing
Tony and I to work on.
Yes,
that would be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I do.
I do.
Okay.
Everybody else?
And this didn't specify a dollar number.
$10,000 per acre.
Well,
that's what the article.
$10,000 per acre.
That's what I thought I read.
That article referenced things before the law was enacted.
Great. Well, thank you.
It's like $10,000 per acre that went towards the parks.
Doesn't take much to be.
I think I read something like that.
You want to make it too high so that they can challenge it on the basis that it's a piece of
stuff. Yeah. I mean that. $10,000. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's got to have some relation to what we're
doing. Right. Yeah. So. I forgot the dollar amount, but that's what I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Okay.
We're good with that, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Whispering Oaks and Amelia Park.
So I passed, back in the first meeting in November, I passed out cost estimates and engineering services proposal to get those two things done. I don't know if anybody brought them with them. I got more copies here. I'd like to see the resolutions that were on the November 3rd meeting get put back on the agenda, allowing us to move forward with those drainage improvement projects so that at least we can get the easements and stuff we need in place, design done, and be ready to break ground in the spring. Looking to spend ARPA money, looking to spend $30,000 in ARPA money in Whispering Oaks, and $16,000 in ARPA money in Amelia Park. That includes engineering costs and the full amount. The Whispering Oaks thing, I think we all know, has been a long-standing problem, like since it was developed. There's not enough elevation change between the house at the corner of Penfold and the loop off of Ashington. It's from the corner of Penfold all the way down to 370. There's not enough elevation change to get the water there, so there's an area that's always been standing water and ponded. Come up with a solution to get that water out into the street drainage system and eliminate that ponding. It's a needed project.
I don't mean to change your Whispering Oaks and Amelia Park, but what about Talmore too, right there in that corner? There's always after a big rainstorm.
Yeah, but it goes away on the street there?
Yeah, right there.
That needs a little mill and a little asphalt fix.
Okay, sorry.
Just a little asphalt fix on that one. Okay. And that's something we could
do
with our pavement management plan. So that's, you know, this is an ARPA funding thing that's certainly qualifies under ARPA, even the initial guidelines, and we can fix a couple long-standing problems. The project in Amelia Park really is more of a result of us not requiring grading plans with building permits. We've talked about that multiple times in the past. We really need to update especially if we're going to start seeing the development pressure that I believe we are, we really, in these residential subdivisions, we really need to get a grading plan with every building permit so we can keep things like this from happening. In Amelia Park, you got a house with a walkout that should have never had a walkout because it doesn't allow positive drainage back out of the property.
Right.
adjacent to it.
That's all the way in the back, right?
No, that one's in the front, actually. It's the third house in.
Because there's another drainage issue all the way back, right where they built that new house back in there.
Where the flag lot is there?
Yeah, the house in front of that has a huge drainage issue as well, too. I didn't know if you...
I think they piped that. Okay. They didn't like the swale. The biggest complaint was they just didn't like the swale.
What do we have to do to do that? Put in a grading...
we got to put it in our code.
No, I don't even know if we have to do it in our code. I think we can just add it to the building permit application because it's allowed by state law.
Whatever the builder reads to see.
Yeah. It'd just be in the application process, the building permit application, and that can just be passed by, it doesn't even have to be a local law, it can just be passed by resolution of the town board to add it to the building permit application.
Let's just make sure about that. But I agree with Al. I mean, we've been out on, since
dozens.
I've been here, we've been out on dozens, and I've been with them, and you look at it, and it's clear that when these buildings were in, the grading is piss poor, you know? I mean, that's the only way I can say it. And,
There's no plan.
And some of the things, like in Amelia Park and a couple other places, they were supposed to do certain types of grading. The one in Radisson.
Yep.
The one in Radisson we're dealing with now.
Well, that one is a wetland. There's not a lot we
can
do there.
I mean, but they were supposed to do certain things, and they didn't do them. With that one, I'm pretty sure. With Unix thing?
Unix, he had a plan to do. He moved the swale off the Unix property and put it on the RCA property, which that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem there is he's just not holding up his end of the deal and getting it done in a prompt and timely manner.
Those things, that issue we had up on. Connell Terrace with that one house in the back. I mean, just the grading on these things, I think that we really should adopt something like that.
Driveways.
We would incorporate driveways and
so all utilities so that we don't have water services in the middle of driveways.
We have a driveway permit fee anyways, right? Shouldn't they be checking that to make sure that this is part of building.
This is part of the building permit.
This is when they put it in.
No, I told them when I built my house, they said, how do you want your lawn greeted? The guy asking me.
How long will it take to put something together that we can...
I think we can have it ready and put it in our organizational meeting when we pass the
January.
That's
with the fees and everything. This isn't a money grab. It's just...
No,
you know, we gotta do it.
We can avoid some of these problems that we're having,
especially with the pressure we're gonna get with new building coming in. So
love it.
All right, so okay. By the organizational meeting,
check the box, kind of.
The only question I had on Whispering Oaks and Amelia, just that it's quick. I mean, thank goodness for ARPA, but what would we do without ARPA?
We'd have to bond. There's no money in those. Either one of these districts have.
And these have to be done.
They've been living with the problem for
a long time.
A long time.
We can fix it.
We got some money to
fix
it.
We should fix it, and we should put something in our code about.
We can put that on our agenda
to make sure that doesn't happen again.
We can put it on.
Yep. I've got the resolutions here, Bob, from the November 3rd meeting.
Yeah, let me see that. I'll
can I borrow a pen? I'll
got them.
Can't borrow mine.
C, D, and E.
Yeah, C.
Don't touch it.
C, E, and I.
Oh, you got your own now, huh?
F is the approval for the engineering service.
No one's borrowing. Okay. Yep. Tony lost one, so after he told me that, no one's borrowing.
It's C, D, E, and F, and they're circled there, Bob, okay?
Oh, C, D, E, and F?
Yep. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did you check the numbers?
Yep. We're good.
The numbers are the same? Good?
Yep, we're good. We're good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have 5 minutes to
run to the bathroom.
Right?
Yeah.
Kevin?
We'll call.
You guys can go first.
Okay, we'll call the work session closed at 6:55.